Last Lord's Day, the sermon that I had prepared was not played due to a power outage which WCBK was having trouble with, and so we wanted to mention this morning, you can listen to that sermon. It's a comparison of physical and spiritual freedoms, and I had wished all the listeners a safe and enjoyable 4th of July, so I'll mention that too. But anyway, hopefully you can go back to the website and listen to that if you would like to. So for this morning, our study will be from Philippians chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. Let's go ahead and see that together. Philippians 1, beginning in verse 19. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness and as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Well, that's a very powerful statement the Apostle Paul made as he was writing by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And as we want to notice an illustration here, and just make a point. Before a football game, a referee may flip a coin to see which team has the choice of receiving the ball at the start of the first or second half. Well, I use this example only to illustrate a point. Suppose the team captain said, heads, I win, tails, I win. Well, if he was permitted to do that, he could not lose, and that's just not likely to happen, we know that, but here's the point. The Apostle Paul said, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He could not lose. Philippians 1:21. I desire to make that same statement as Paul did. Don't you? Well, our study this morning is to answer this question. How was Paul able to make that bold statement? And we can find a number of things in his inspired letter which reveal the answer. And we'll begin our study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to PFE. And we all should know that's the most important thing we could be doing, preparing for eternity. Now we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street in Martinsville as we study God's precious Word in our Bible classes. And as we come together to worship God, we're striving to do so in accordance to the New Testament pattern. That would be in truth. But we need to have a proper attitude as well, and that would be in spirit, John 4:24. I can assure you, you will receive a warm welcome. We're a friendly congregation. Now, something else to point out. If you're interested in a Bible study, please let us know. We'll set up the time at your convenience. And if you have Bible questions or comments, positive or negative, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. And I want to give our website address, as we mentioned at the start of the program. If you missed last week's sermon, which you would have because it wasn't played, but anyway, it's on the website. So, here it is, www.martinsville.org. morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, let's get into our study of Philippians chapter 1, 19 through 21. As we just read a moment ago, we're going to fill in the blanks at the end of our study this morning. And let's just pick up with verse 21 again, as Paul, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, penned these words, "For to me to live is Christ." So Jesus had to be the source of Paul's life. That's one way of answering this question. That's right. Jesus had to be the source of Paul's life, certainly, is an answer to our question. How was Paul able to make that bold statement? The Word became flesh and made all things. As you note in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." Now notice verse 14. "And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." That's speaking of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In the beginning He was the Word, the second person of the Godhead, took on a fleshy body in order to die for our sins. And you'll notice that all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Of course, God the Father was the designer, the planner, but God the Word was the executor of the creation. All things were created by Him. So He is the source of our physical life, but more importantly, He needs to be the source of our spiritual life, does He not? So, as the opposite of life is death, before Paul obeyed the gospel, he was what? Dead in his sins. So Christ gave him spiritual life. In Ephesians 2, let's notice verses 1 and 2. "And you hath he quickened," that is, made alive, "who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." And verse 5, "Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved." Without God's grace, we wouldn't have an opportunity to obey the gospel. So we need to be thankful for God's grace and His mercy as well. Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And when do we contact the blood of Christ? When we're buried in a watery grave, that is, in baptism. Romans 6:3-4, notice, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." So Jesus will give us spiritual life when? Well, when we obey His Word, of course. Revelation 22:17 tells us, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come, and let him heareth say, Come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." Remember what Jesus told those Jews that believed on Him? "If you continue in My Word, then are ye My disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now, every living thing, of course, has God as the source of their physical life in the flesh, But those in the world do not have Christ as the source of their spiritual life. That is, they don't have a true spiritual life without having obeyed the gospel. So we see that Jesus had to be the source of Paul's life for him to be able to make that bold statement, for me to live as Christ and to die is gain. But secondly, Jesus had to be the satisfaction of Paul's life. As we note in Philippians 4, 11 and 12, notice together. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. And notice, everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Now verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to the riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So by being a faithful follower of Christ, Paul was content in his life. Well, let's ask ourselves, are we really content? If we're a Christian, we certainly should be. What would prevent us from not being content as a faithful Christian in the Lord's church? And you see here in verse 19, that's something we really should hold on to. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's right. But let's go on and see another answer to our question. How was Paul able to make the bold statement, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain? As we see, Jesus had to be the source of Paul's spiritual life. Jesus had to be the satisfaction of Paul's life. He was content. But number three, Jesus had to be the strength of Paul's life. Paul understood very well his true source of strength. Notice with me in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, a verse we all should know. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And of course, we need to understand the source of our spiritual strength. Notice with me in John 15, we'll see here as Jesus makes this statement, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine. Ye are the branches, not different religious groups, but individuals. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. But through Christ we can do all things that strengtheneth us. Without Christ, of course, we can do nothing. We need to understand that. Now, we as Christians, if we're faithful in the Lord's church, we're going to have to continue to what? Study to grow. Just like we continue to eat, if we're going to keep up our physical bodies, our spiritual growth depends on our feeding on the Word of God. How could Paul endure so many hardships without strength? As you notice what Paul endured, go with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I'm more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. That is, 39 times he was beaten. Not once, not twice, not three times, not four times, but five times. Let that sink into our minds. That's what the Apostle Paul was willing to endure for the cause of Christ. So obviously he had Jesus as the strength of his life. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, night and the day I've been in the deep. He was in perils in the waters and perils of robbers and his own countrymen. And you just go on and read through 33 and you'll see what all Paul was willing to endure for the cause of Christ. Paul had a thorn in the flesh, we read about in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He prayed to God three times to have it removed, and God answered, "My grace is sufficient for thee." Paul then realized that through his weakness, he would be stronger. He needed God, and he understood that as you study that in chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians, verses 7 through 10. But now we need to note this. When we neglect to feed on the Word of God, we're going to grow weak, and thus we can easily be overcome by temptation. Yes, that's right. Notice back in John 15, verses 6 and 7. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Let's remember that. And as Paul, he had Jesus as his strength, his certainly spiritual strength of his life. But number four, as we're answering, how was Paul able to make the statement, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain"? Well, Jesus had to be the subject of Paul's life. Notice with me now Philippians 1, 12 through 14. "But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel," that is, spreading the gospel, "so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. Paul had converted some of the guards that were chained to him there as he was in prison. That is, he was chained to a Roman guard 24 hours a day. They would change guards, of course, in their different shifts, and some of them obeyed the gospel. "And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds," that is, his chains, "are much more bold to speak the word without fear." And we need to be the same as Paul today. That's right. Without fear, speaking the truth. In love, of course. Love for lost souls and telling them that they need to get out of their sins and not substantiate them, to stay in the sins. Notice Philippians 4:22. "All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household." That's right. Paul was busy preaching and teaching the kingdom of God, the church of Christ, the gospel of Christ. And there were those who were of Caesar's household that obeyed the gospel. Now, in Acts 9, 20 and 29, we have a sense of urgency that Paul had as soon as he was converted. "And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him." Paul didn't waste any time, did he? Well, he also wrote in an inspired letter to the Church of Christ in Rome, chapter 1, verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Are we ashamed to talk about Jesus? Well, we should like to talk about our Savior that gave His life for us, dying on the cruel cross of Calvary, carrying the burden of all the sins of the world. We certainly should not be ashamed to speak about Christ. Brethren that do not like to talk about Jesus, they're what? They're ashamed, sad to say. But let us go on and notice the fifth answer to our question. How was Paul able to make the bold statement, "For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain"? Well, Jesus had to be Paul's standard of his life. Let's go to Philippians 2, 5 and verse 9. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name." Well, to have the mind of Christ, we must know and obey his doctrine, his teaching. Certainly that comes out in chapter 3, 15 and 16. Yes, sir. As we study God's word and we apply it to our lives, then we are able to have the mind of Christ living in us, because we're carrying out his will. Paul recognized the authority of Christ in his word. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 1 through 3, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." You see how the order there is given. Well, Jesus submitted to the will of his Father, did he not? He took the role of submission. Nothing to be ashamed about that, is there? And so, ladies, it's not a demeaning role. It's a God-given role. Men have a role and the women have a role in marriage, the husband and the wife. If we follow the roles, we're going to have a godly home. If we follow the roles that God has given us, that is, of course, it's the right thing. But you see, Paul could say, "Follow me," because he followed Christ. Can we say that? Well, notice what Jesus said to his disciples after he was resurrected. He came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." He has all authority, Matthew 28:18. There is no other authority, Acts 4:12 declares this, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." And see Colossians 3:16 and 17 as well. So we may not submit now to the authority of Christ. That's true. We have the freedom to choose. But we will all stand before Christ and be judged by the words that he has spoken, John 12:48. "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." Now, that's the standard we'll all be judged by if we're accountable. It would behoove us to submit to his authority now, not put it off, and live the best life possible. So let's ask ourselves, to whom do I submit? To whom am I following? To whom do I love and serve? We're either serving God or we're serving Satan. There's no in between. Jesus said, "He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad." Matthew 12:30. We're either for or against the Savior. Which is it? So we've seen how Paul was able to make the bold statement, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." We need to be able to make that statement, and we can if Jesus is the source of our spiritual life. He certainly is of our physical. If Jesus is the satisfaction of our life, we can make that statement. If Jesus is the strength of our life, we can make that statement. If Jesus is the subject of our life, we can make that statement. If Jesus is the standard of our life, we can make that statement. But if he's not, it's not too late to change, is it? And so we must apply these principles to our lives to be able to say, "For me to live is Christ, and for me to die is gain." So, as I said at the beginning of the program, we want to fill in the blanks. And here they are. As we want to know, what about my life? Let us be honest, every one of us, as God knows the truth. Here's the two blanks we want to fill in. And you should be able to guess them by now. For me to live is blank. Number two, for me to die is blank. If Christ does not go in the first blank, then we should put to be lost in the second blank, because that's the situation we would find ourselves in. And again, it's not too late to change. And if we are outside the body of Christ, we need to obey the gospel. And today is the day of salvation. We stand ready to assist anyone in putting on Christ. We must hear the truth, of course. That's how our faith comes. Romans 10:17. Then we must believe that Jesus is the Christ. John 8:24. Now we're ready to repent of our sins and make a change of wills. Luke 13:3-5. And the next step is making the good confession, stating, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God." And that's Romans 10:9-10. It's unto salvation. And the next step is what puts us into Christ. As we mentioned earlier, Romans 6:3-4, we quoted, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." We come up out of the water with our sins washed away by the blood of Christ we contacted in that watery grave. And then the Lord adds us to his body, the true church. Here's where we need to remain faithful even unto death, and we'll have the victory. Revelation 2:10. And we want to thank you so very much for listening today.